folks, and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Bend Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. We say this each week. We love hearing from all of you. Your comments, stories, ideas, get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to bendradioshow@gmail.com. Right along, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. And we're once again going to let you know what's happening at our place. We are, like the rest of you, getting excited for camping. We've been trying to get our classy motorhome set up. However, there is a certain guest or a family of guests that will not go away, and Tigger is in charge of getting rid of them, and he's not getting it done.
They are the bane of my existence. Why don't you give a little bit of the backstory? We're talking about mice in our camper, but go ahead and just give the backstory of dates of kind of
okay, so last fall is when we cleaned out our motorhome, and we cleaned it out very well. There's no food, nothing of that sort left in it. Had washed everything down, winterized it, even though we were keeping it parked in our heated shop. We parked it, and then about 2 months later, so from September to the end of October, it sat with nothing in it. Went in to check on it in the beginning of November, start up the generator, do those maintenance things that you should do throughout the winter months. And lo and behold, there were mice droppings everywhere.
Not just mice droppings. They had made nests in every little nook and cranny you could think about.
And now you might be thinking, well, did you guys put anything down? Yes, we had scattered the mouse repellent. I think it's Grandpa Gus's mouse stuff. Anyway, it smells really, really strong.
This was the cinnamon smelling stuff. And we put this everywhere.
Yes, everywhere where you could smell it outside of the motorhome. The shop smelled like it even.
Okay, so that was last year. So then kind of fast forward, we checked on everything kind of over the winter. Everything was fine.
Everything was doing great. It was doing really good. And then about 3 weeks ago, we decided to get her fired up, put a new battery in the motorhome. Let's start getting it ready for the season. And lo and behold, we had some visitors. Well, we cleaned the camper again, all right, and top to bottom inside, threw again some smelly things back in there for the days we're not using it, and we went out this last, couple of days ago, and sure enough, we've got visitors again.
So here's what I can't figure out. We have, the motorhome is in the shop, we've got three vehicles in the shop, the four-wheeler is in the shop, the skid steer is in the shop. The snowblower is in the shop. Why have the mice decided that they were going to infiltrate the motorhome, number one? Number two, how in the name of everything good and holy are they getting up inside? Because here's what I did last year. I took steel wool and I went everywhere. I shoved them in nooks and in crannies, any possible place I could find. I know what they say. If you've got a hole the size of a pencil, a mouse will get in there. But how are they getting up into said motorhome?
I know, it's driving us nuts.
I mean, what, do they have little mini ladders? I mean, how is this working? The only thing I can figure out is we've got it plugged in, right?
Yes.
Are they scaling that cord in the back? And how did they go about in just less than a week's time? All of a sudden, they moved in again when we were in the motorhome. We took it out. We spent a weekend in it. We had dogs in it. All that kind of stuff.
It blows our mind. And then when we're not using it, we're using, just like I said, we're using Grandpa Gus's and as well as Cab Fresh.
We've used
everything,
Beck. I mean, we've spent a few $100 just on these smelly things in there that are supposed to keep the mice away. So here's my question. What are you doing to try to keep the mice out of your motorhome? I don't know what to do. I'm lost. I mean, I have Googled this. I went to ChatGPT. I've tried everything.
Tigger's got sticky traps all over the place as well. And the trap line is empty. We're not catching anything, and they keep coming back.
And here's what's crazy. In the drawers where the utensils are, we have two packs of those, Grandpa Gus's, the smelly things that are supposed to keep them away.
Yeah.
and two packs in each drawer, and they were full of mouse droppings. And mouse droppings, like, right beside all of these little packets where we scattered them throughout the motorhome. This is what I can't figure out. So I am using your time right now reaching out for help for all the listeners because I don't know what to do. I literally am at wit's end.
So, yes, if you have some ideas, feel free to call or text us right now at 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. You can always email us at bendradioshow@gmail.com. And if you're thinking like the show Tom and Jerry, we just need to get a cat. I'm almost to that point of saying, yes, Tigger, you can have a shop cat because this is ridiculous in my mind.
And we haven't had them really too many other places in the shop.
No, there's no other leavings anywhere.
There's nothing. And I mean, we've got sticky traps all over the shop and I just can't figure out why the motorhome that they have just infiltrated it. And like I said, we just used it a few weeks ago. I mean, okay, I'm going on with this rant, but if you could, if you've got some magical devices, could you send us those Amazon links? Because I'm at the end. I'm absolutely at the end. I just want to be away from this motorhome forever.
Well, Tigger, we already know that you're not a fan of the Cousin Eddie motorhome that I have.
The bus is coming up for sale.
Regardless, yes, would love some help with that. On that note, we're going to take a short break, crew. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about the New World screwworm and its effects on your pets as well as your horses. You're going to want to take a listen to this. You're listening to The Ben Show.
Hey guys and gals, this is John Armand with Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV. Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV travels the back roads to the backwaters in pursuit of the ultimate adventure in hunting and fishing. Join Team UOA every week for exciting action in the crosshairs of the outdoors. Catch Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV on YouTube, Amazon Prime, and make sure to follow Team UOA on Facebook and Instagram to share in the ultimate outdoor adventure.
Are you looking for true price discovery for your feeder cattle? Well, look no further than Superior Livestock Auction. The Corn Belt Classic is coming up June 16th through the 18th, followed by the Week in the Rockies sale. To consign to the Week in the Rockies sale, cattle need to be cataloged by June 19th, and videos need to be submitted by June 26th. Again, June 19th for the catalog and June 26th for the videos to consign to the Week in the Rockies sale. Any questions, reach out to your Superior Livestock Auction rep or call Superior Livestock Customer Service at 800-422-2117. View the sale live on Dish Network Channel 997 and online at sla-tv.com.
Is there that particular pair of boots or that shirt or pair of jeans that you just can't find anywhere else? Check out Medora Boot and Western Wear. Medora Boot and Western Wear is the go-to for boots, jeans, especially jackets, and even those hard-to-find accessories that make perfect gifts. Check out MedoraBoot.com, or better yet, give Kim a call at 701-623-1005 and tell Kim that Tigger and Beck sent you. For the latest in Western and outdoor practical and fashionable wear, there is only one, Medora Boot and Western Wear.
Welcome back to The Ben Show, New World Screwworm. Now, Tigger, you covered this a lot in our other program.
Yeah, we've had updates on that. But you in the livestock circles, you've heard of New World Screwworm being detected here in the lower 48. New World Screwworm, it's different because the larvae, they feed on living tissue. And tis the season for livestock, pets, wildlife movement. What do I mean by that? There's livestock shows, there's county fairs, there's horse shows. It's just when we're very active with animals. But what to look for on pets, on wildlife even, when it comes to New World screwworm? I visited with Dr. Wayne Ayers, a technical consultant veterinarian with Elanco Animal Health. When it comes to like dogs and horses, is it the same situation as if you are a cattle owner that you want to pay attention to any kind of open wounds, a scratch, the dog was out here and jumped in the stock tank and then jumped out and cut itself, or a horse cut himself on some barbed wire, whatever the case is. Is that kind of the situation as well, that just really, really pay attention to those open wounds and see if there's any changing to said wounds?
Yeah, no, that's very true. And the pet side, the dogs and cats, there are some tools that have been launched that actually are a little longer acting, so they can good tick control. A lot of those tick control products, we have a couple here at Elanco on our side that have been approved for emergency use or a conditional authorization to use for screwworm, and they help prevent that. So when we don't see those, we don't see the scratch of the wound or the flea bite. You know, if we can remove the presence of those fleas and ticks, that helps with the wounds. But it also, if they would get one that we didn't see, then they have that treatment on board. Any mammals and at a lesser degree, the birds are also can get the infestation. So our wildlife, I mean, we need to pay attention around our yards and just say, hey, call the game warden or state vet's office or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you see an animal with a wound, because the wild animals are going to be, they're the ones that are going to move it around, that kind of uncontrolled, right? We don't, whereas we'll have things in place for protocols if I want to, you know, if I got rodeo stock that are within like a surveillance zone or something, there'll be a protocol for them to be able to move. But it's all going to be dictated. It's all dictated by the USDA, and it's going to be very fluid. So I can't go into really protocols because it can change with the area. So right now, those folks around the La Pryor area, you know, they're going to be under some restrictions for movement, and they're going to have protocols to move. For the general public, if we're outside of that zone, it's vigilance. It's looking at your animals all the time. Our horses, you know, we see them all the time, but they're at probably a better advantage than cattle out on a big, large pasture, because it is harder to see them, you know, every day or every few days when they're out in these big open spaces. But my horses in the corral or in the pasture by the house, yeah, I need to look at them, and I need to do the same thing. I need to use good fly and tick control just to keep them from getting wounds. I need to go through my facilities and make sure I don't have nails sticking out on the corrals, or sometimes you see the continuous fence or metal fencing. There's a little piece of the welding wire, you know, that was sticking out, or a little burr or something that scratches. We just need to walk through our facilities. Doesn't matter whether it's, you know, whether you got a flock of sheep, a herd of goats, or you know, a bunch of brood mares. We just need to look at our facilities if we're close to where the fly is. One of the big advantages, you know, too, it's very dictated by temperature. And so the folks on the north, I mean, historically, let's say when it was endemic here in the U.S., you could take a line, say, Nevada, Colorado, Utah, all the way across at that level, Nebraska, into all the way to Kentucky. And that was about as far north as the thing can possibly get. It's too cold in the north in the wintertime for it to even survive. So it can't become endemic, but we could move it. And that's what used to happen. It would all get all the way to the Canadian border, but it was from moving animals around. Just like you said, you know, it's rodeo season, and I happen to be close to the flies, and I take my cow or my horse, and I go to a rope and somewhere and drag it along with me. So being diligent and observing your animals, looking them all over before you go somewhere, making sure that we're using good fly and tick control, that will all be part of it. The key to this whole thing is education. So I encourage everybody across the country and all the way to the border, Canadian borders, to understand it. And once we understand it, then it's less scary. This whole, like I pointed out, that whole environmental concern, that fly lives in a very narrow temperature range. It doesn't like it below 65 degrees, and it really prefers not to be, you know, 105 either. So, and it needs a certain amount of moisture. So there's, the more we learn about it, that's what I would leave with your listeners, is that go educate yourself, go to screwworm.gov, look at those credible type sources and get as much information as you can.
Again, that was Dr. Wayne Ayers with Elanco Animal Health. Here is the takeaway to remember, is it doesn't have to be any kind of a wound on your on your pet or on your horse is it could be just a scratch, or it could be even a tick bite where you removed a tick from your dog. That's where the New World screwworm can come in and lay their eggs and that larvae hatch. So you just need to really, really, really pay attention to your pets, pay attention to your livestock, to your horses, wildlife even. If you notice anything unusual, call your veterinarian immediately. And for those of you that are kind of in the lower third of the United States where this is really being watched closely, you can go to, and all of us for that matter, screwworm.gov, okay? Screwworm.gov. It's a fantastic website. We talk about it a lot on the Ranch It Up radio show. It's got interactive maps of where cases are detected, how do you go about treating it, but it also, if you have any questions, just reach out to your veterinarian at any time. So there you go. Little bit on New World screwworm, especially for the pet owners and horse owners.
Thanks for digging into that, Tigger, because I know that has been in the headlines everywhere, and it hits home when you start thinking about the pets and our horses.
I know, because we focused on livestock so much, right? I mean, that's where, you know, the USDA, because it was first detected in a calf in Texas, and now to date it has been detected in, I believe there are,
I knew there was
12,
at least one dog.
Yeah, one dog in New Mexico. There's 11. This was as of Monday. There was 11 active cases, one inactive case, but it's been found in sheep. It's been found in goats, cattle, in one dog. So that's why I just wanted to visit with Wayne a little bit more, but focus on pet owners, wildlife, horses, especially since a lot of us, you know, traveling and rodeoing and doing all that sort
of
thing.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Tis the season of whether we're getting out camping, we bring along our pets with
exactly.
us. We're heading to county fairs. We're heading to stock shows. There's a lot of opportunities. I hate to say it, where a chance could occur.
You could pick something up. Yep.
So it doesn't 100%. Matter, regardless if it's New World screwworm or ticks or any other parasite or anything out there, we should just be watching our loved pets.
And pay attention to those wounds. Like I said, if it's a scratch or they get cut on a barbed wire fence or whatever the case is, you know how dogs are. I mean, that's just how it happens. But pay attention to those wounds. If they seem like they're getting worse in any way, shape, or form, get a hold of your vet right away.
All right, crew, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to The Ben Show. We'll have more right after this.
Welcome to Sire Buyer, a place where we connect cattlemen. The nation's number one destination for buying and selling breeding genetics. In-depth reviews and upbeat news on your favorite sires. Sire Buyer features the top Angus bulls across the country. Be sure to sign up to receive your directory by emailing info@sirebuyer.com. If you're looking for the best place in breeding genetics, you've just found it.
RanchChannel.com, your farm and ranch network on demand. Bull sales, Western events, product information, right at your fingertips on the ultimate cowboy-friendly platform. Want to follow up-to-date markets? RanchChannel.com. No need to dig for information on all these different websites. It's all right there on RanchChannel.com. Y'all are loving it now, aren't you?
What if your bull selection could help put more money in your pocket? At Jorgensen Land and Cattle, every bull is bred and tested for feed efficiency, a trait that can help you maximize production and profitability. When you lease or buy from Jorgensen Land and Cattle, you'll benefit from superior genetics, proven sire lines, and support from a team with over 60 years of experience. Our breeding program was built to help commercial cattle producers develop better cowherds and stronger feeder calves. Head to JorgensenFarms.com and follow us on Facebook. Jorgensen Land and Cattle, one of the nation's largest seed stock providers. Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, and Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair. Have a little news for you. It takes us to Georgia, where Georgia wildlife officials are warning residents about a growing population of invasive tegu lizards. Tegu lizards is what I said. It's spelled T-E-G-U.
Like Wagyu, except it's tegu?
Yeah, and not spelled like
not spelled
that
the same.
At all.
Continue.
Anyway, these large reptiles are native to South America and can grow up to, get this, 4 feet long, about the size of some small dogs. The black and white Argentine tagus have been spreading across parts of Georgia for more than a decade. State officials say sightings have increased recently, particularly in South Georgia, and they're asking residents to report any encounters. While tagus are not considered dangerous to people, wildlife experts say they pose a serious threat to native species.
I'm sorry, a lizard that is 4 feet long is dangerous to me.
Look it up on your phone right now.
That's how I am. Go ahead. Read your story. I will.
You look this up, Tigger. You're going to be shocked. Lizard. These lizards are opportunistic eaters, and they will consume eggs from ground nesting birds, such as quail and wild turkey, as well as eggs from reptiles, including American alligators and gopher tortoises. They also feed on fruits, vegetables, pet food, carrion, and small animals. Tagus first appeared in Georgia in 2014. Tigger just saw what it looked like.
Why did you even have me look this thing up? The first picture is this great big lizard sticking his tongue straight out at me. Yeah, I'm sorry. I consider these things dangerous.
You could make a horror movie out of if you look at one of these.
Yeah, they do. They look like kind of like a Komodo dragon.
Yes.
That's what they look like.
Well, wildlife officials believe most originated from the exotic pet trade, and with wild populations developing from escaped or intentionally released pets, people quit doing that, okay? Do not release your pets, especially when they're exotic ones like this. Florida has had established populations of tagus since at least 2008. Although state officials do not know exactly how many tagus now live in Georgia, reports have increased in recent years. Data collected by the University of Georgia shows dozens of sightings, with the highest concentrations reported in Tatnall and Toombs counties. Georgia Department of Natural Resources biologist Daniel Sullenberger says the reptiles can be difficult to locate and count. He suggested there may now be more tagus in some areas than coyotes, highlighting the scale of the growing invasion. To help slow their spread, the Georgia Department of Natural Resources is encouraging residents to report tagu sightings and, where legally permitted, remove the invasive lizards. Officials say public participation will be critical in controlling the population and protecting Georgia's native wildlife. State wildlife agencies continue to monitor the spread of tagus and are urging residents to stay alert for the unusually large lizards going across South Georgia.
Okay, so I looked this up, and yes, there are a lot of people that have made pets out of these. And this is what they say. Many tagus absolutely love being petted, like scratch the verb. Yeah. Often relaxing, closing their eyes and leaning into the touch. However, it comes down to building mutual trust and learning their individual body language, as they generally show comfort and familiarity rather than true mammalian affection. So there you go. I mean, if you want to pet a lizard, that's what you do.
So what you're saying is people get them while they're little and they're probably like 6 inches long.
I have
no
idea.
Before they know it, it's bigger than a dog at 4 feet long and they just let it go. Is that what happened?
I don't know. I have no idea. It's kind of like, you know, when people buy a little mini pig and they think that little teacup pig is going to stay little and cute forever, and they realize that's not the case, and those teacup pigs get really big when they get older.
Okay.
They're cute and little. I mean, they're the size of an action figure when they're little, but they will grow up.
But I don't think this is the same situation. I don't hear people letting go of teacup pigs just out in the wild.
I don't want a lizard
running around. You know, this is a good time, I think, to bring this up as a reminder. When you're shopping around or thinking about buying a pet, say, not just for yourself, you're looking at buying somebody a pet as a gift, I'm going to first be the one to say I don't believe a person should do that unless they really, really know the individual who's going to receive said pet.
How many times have we heard that story of somebody gifting someone a puppy, right? And the puppy is cute, but they don't know how to handle, say, it's a bigger dog, like it's a retriever, a lab, or something like that. A lot of energy, and they take a lot of work, or a border collie, or some of the herding type dogs that require a job, and it's way too much for them to handle.
Well, and the other reason why I say not to do this, unless you know for a fact that this individual wants a certain pet is that the expense that goes with it, like you just brought up a dog.
Yeah.
Say they have a home, but they don't have a fenced in yard yet. Now they got a fence in their yard. Now they have to buy all the extra food. What happens if they are a couple like Tigger and I that travel a lot? You have to make sure now you have that countered into your budget of paying somebody to take care of said pet. See, it just cascades. That's where I hate to, I don't want to discourage people from doing this, but I kind of am.
Choose what you're saying is choose the pet for yourself. Don't go and buy it for a gift for somebody else.
Exactly.
But know exactly what you're getting into before you go ahead and you purchase that pet, especially if it's like in the case of this big old lizard.
We're going to call this show wrapped for this week, folks. Thank you again for riding along, and remember to keep sending us in any questions you might have if there's something spot worthy for us to share, as well as your area's field reports. We want to hear about the biggins that you're reeling in. That number you can call or text anytime, 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com.
Don't forget about those special Amazon magical devices to catch the mice.
Yes.
Send us links. We got to clear the camper.
Please help Tigger out on this mice situation we've got going on. If you missed part of this episode or want to hear past shows, you can find them all on the website, thebendshow.com. Now, finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me, Beck, all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Bend.